This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
Welcome to Family Matters. You're with Gina, Beck and Dave, seeing you through to the next hour. But hang on a sec, where is Beck?
Well, at the moment, without Beck, and guess what, even better news, we're without parents tonight.
Mama Mish and Papa Adrian have flown the coop and have left us alone.
They've got kid issues, I think.
Leaving us kids in charge. So tonight the parents are away and I wonder what mischief we're going to get into.
What do we have on the show tonight, Gina? I heard we've got a great interview coming up.
Well, since it's a night about the kids, we actually have a great interview that Michelle and I did a couple of weeks ago with the daughter of two lovely lesbians.
Yes, fantastic.
Georgia, who's 20 years old, and she came into studio. So we'll be hearing from our interview with Georgia later on tonight.
Yep, and also we've got a lovely interview with the one and only Anne Dell. The name that might not sound familiar, but it is Beck's mum. Beck, you're back.
Hello. Sorry.
Now, your mum's
I'm Beck from Stand Up Straight.
She's been on for the last hour or so. Your mum's coming up in the show.
I know. She's very excited.
How did you manage to drag her into the show?
She was happy to be in the show. I think she's probably, maybe she's a frustrated radio person.
Now, possibly. Hello, Anne out there. Stay near your phone. We're going to be ringing in about 45 minutes.
Whatever
time.
It is, South Australian time. She gets confused about what time it is.
I think it's about 1996 in Adelaide at the moment.
Absolutely.
No offense.
Now, we are wanting people, not only Beck's mum to call us tonight, but we are wanting people to message in because we are without the parents. And I'd like to know who you think out of baby David, baby Beck, or Junior Gina, who was the cheekiest in our youth?
Ooh.
And you can SMS us on 0427JOY949. I'll repeat it again, 0427JOY949. And you can email us on air at joy.org.au, or if you're a social media kind of person, which we all are here.
Absolutely. You can go onto our Facebook page, which is Facebook, well, Family Matters on Joy at Facebook, and you can see a little preview video that we did with Georgia as well, so you can get a glimpse of that. You can also get us on Twitter, because we are Twits, at Family Matters 94, or you can just send us an email, familymatters@joy.org.au.
There you go. Now, you're a bit of a troublesome child in your childhood, Gina, and you've
just
got a few stories for us coming up.
I do.
Oh, no.
I'm excited.
And Becky, you're still troublesome.
This is true, Dave. This is true.
We've got a quick song. We'll be back very soon. You're listening to Joy Family Matters on 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
So who was the troublemaker out of the three of us? David and I nearly called you Michelle.
It's Beck.
Oh my
it's
God.
Beck, it's Gina. It's
nice
Beck.
To meet you.
It's Beck.
From Stand Up Straight.
Yeah. And it is David as well. You are listening to Family Matters, not Stand Up Straight. You listen to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Remember, who's the most troublesome person here in the studio, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949. Email us on air at joy.org.au.
And if you do go to our Facebook page, we have uploaded on there a like little kids' photos of myself, David, and Beck.
We are so cute.
We are super cute.
I know.
But you could clearly tell I was a lesbian. Rocking.
You were butch dressing from
yeah,
a young age.
Definitely.
I was holding a hard hat, rocking flannel and dark denim.
Yeah. I mean, did you come out wearing overalls or like how did that?
Denim, possibly.
Yeah.
But possibly denim.
I can see your Greek parents thinking, what's happening?
Yeah. Sorry, what are we do with this?
And that's the photo of me, that was actually just from yesterday, actually. That photo.
You've still got that baby
I was going to say, too recent, Dave, too recent.
But I reckon Dave was probably a cheeky one.
Yeah, look at that face.
I'll tell you what, I was the baby of three, and I think whatever I did, if I didn't get in trouble, I'll just, well, if I was, people suspecting that I was the troublesome one, I'll just sort of put it onto my older brothers, as simple as that.
Oh, because you were the baby.
Yeah.
Why? And they're not allowed
the youngest
to...
gets away with everything. Yeah.
That was me.
I do remember throwing some mud pies at next door neighbour's laundry.
Oh, you
can you imagine that, white sheets on the washing line. Here I am just throwing as much as I can on their washing sheets and just running off.
See, I didn't do anything too bad. I just set fire to our house in Abbotsford.
Oh, tell us more about that.
We did kind of have to move after that.
Because the police were chasing you?
I was 3.5.
How did you set it on fire?
Don't leave a kid with heater and matches.
I mean, sensible advice.
There's some advice to parents out there. Don't leave your child with matches and a heater. I think I got probably a little bit cheekier when I got older. And we were actually going to call my mum today, but I had to ask for too many favours today. So I didn't want to trouble her. But I've got something I haven't told them that I'm feeling super guilty about.
Into the confession booth, yeah. Gina.
Look.
Come in, Gina.
Nobody's going to tell them.
No, this is just a story amongst
friends. Just between us and you.
They don't speak English, so please nobody translate this to them. When I was 21, I kind of said to my parents I didn't want to have a 21st because I was the baby of the group and I'd been to so many 21sts. So we just had a lovely family barbecue at home. Dad made a spit. Then my parents went fishing and I actually did have a 21st birthday party and invited all my friends. Now, the party itself wasn't the problem. And as you know, like, you can hire security guards for parties these days. You can do all that sort of stuff to make sure your home is safe. But I took care of the house. I was very responsible, cleaned up really well. But there is this bottle of ouzo that my parents brought when they arrived from Greece to
Great
Australia.
Great family. No. Bottle of ouzo.
46 years ago. And it's like this funky bottle with Zeus on it. Like,
of
this
course it is, Zeus, Gina.
If you're around Gina's mum at the moment, maybe just call the ambulance.
Maybe don't tell them this.
Panic attack.
Or maybe kind of tell them to switch to something else. Just my mum. But there's not ouzo in that bottle anymore. That bottle kind of got consumed on that 21st birthday.
Was it worth it? Was it good ouzo? If there is such a thing.
I don't even like ouzo. But we did fill it and put it back in its place. So it's still now in that Zeus bottle on the top of the bar that you need to climb upstairs.
Are they saving it for a special occasion, like when the Queen comes or something?
46 years they've been saving it for a special occasion.
Probably serves them right.
Clearly nothing special has happened since then. It's like that dinner set my mother bought, 30 years ago that's still in the box.
Is that the Vera Wang dinner set?
No, it's not the Vera Wang
dinner set. You're learning so much.
I still don't know about the whatever it is.
Clearly.
Vera Dang.
What about you, Beck? I mean, you're now quite the upstanding citizen. Are you trying to make up for a checkered past?
I feel like I have to, maybe when my mum comes on, she might tell a few stories. But when I was a teenager, I was good because you know what will make you good? Being the daughter of the principal of the only Catholic school in a small town.
Oh, there you go.
That will constrict one's social life
Just a bit.
Because Mr. Dahl's daughter, as was my name for the entirety of high school, had to behave herself. And then the worst part about a country town too, though, is then I moved to the Big Smoke to go to uni and I thought, hello, boys, here I go. I'm out on the town. I forget that in small country towns, everyone goes to church and mum and dad were still finding out what I did because their parents were responding to them and letting mum and dad know what I got up to. So, yeah, I was in a no-win situation. But when I was a little kid, I was perfect and an angel, as I'm sure Andal will verify later on.
And we'll ask Andal all the hard-hitting questions.
Absolutely.
If anyone has any
questions for Beck's mum later today, can you please message in? And we'll be messaging Beck's – well, we'll be asking Beck's mum those questions. So you can message in on 0427JOY949. And I think we've got a message that's already come in.
Oh, what is it? Do they have plastic covers on their furniture as well?
I assume that's
great
from
show.
My parents.
Yes. Do they? Like,
no, but we had the good room.
Oh, the Delta good room.
We did have the Delta good room, which again was for special occasions. We never got to enjoy the good room. In fact, the furniture that they bought is still good. They didn't have to put plastic covers on it because my 21st birthday did rock it out in the good room.
I wish there was photos or video footage of this party.
Oh, we didn't. Yeah, it was like 20 years ago, so there wouldn't be video footage, but there is some photos.
Video footage.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, I've just the Taste of Radio course is just over in the other studio training, and we all Taste of Radio students over here.
Absolutely.
Are they pranking us, or what's going on over there?
Do you think they're pranking us?
Maybe they're trying to work out who's the naughty
one. Right. Anyway, tell us more about this interview coming up shortly, Gina.
Unfortunately, Georgia works on a Thursday night, so she'll be hopefully listening from her workplace. But she is the daughter, 20-year-old daughter of a mother with two lesbian mums. We were wanting to know, are the kids all right? I mean, we've heard from parents, and so much work goes into making sure that everything we plan and make legal documents, as Beck would know, to make sure the kids are all right. That's kind of what we asked Georgia. Is she okay? Does she? She looked pretty okay to me. In fact, I think she was far better behaved than I was.
Fantastic. That's coming up very shortly. Are we all okay? Okay in the studio?
Yeah.
Are you okay day today?
I'm tired.
What is?
But
are you okay
day? Is that from the weekend still?
That might be another story for later in the show, Dave.
Let's talk to Andel about that. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Family Matters with any combination of Gina, Adrian, Michelle, David and Beck. Joy 94.9.
There's a voice we haven't heard from yet. It'd be important to actually hear from one of the kids of an LGBT parent. So we have the lovely Georgia here with us in studio, who is okay as far as I can see. She's all in one piece.
Yeah, she seems you know mentally intact. I haven't seen any weird tics or anything.
And
so.
She's a 20-year-old daughter of some lesbian mums. So. Yeah. Welcome, Georgia.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's exciting to be here.
It's amazing to see all the different types of families. I think that's probably the special thing about this particular show that we've put together is the different representations we have from the community as part of this show. I am so interested. You always hear these things about the next stolen generation now as they're starting to call you.
Yeah.
Do you feel stolen?
No, not at all. I was quite offended, actually, when I heard that comment. I was obviously on Q&A and Lyle Shelton said it. And I was like, we're not a stolen generation. We're a good bunch of kids. We have a different family, but we're pretty stable and confident in who we are and where we've come from. So
even though you had two women as your parents growing up majority of life and you didn't have your dad living in the house with you, but you still had a relationship. Your parents maintained that relationship with your father.
Yeah. So from the beginning, since we were born, it was always important for my parents that their kids know who their dad is. And I mean, it's different for every family, but it was something that they wanted. They would always make sure that he was around for birthdays and we'd see him frequently. And we still do today. We see him whenever we want to or need to. Yeah. And it's a great relationship. We've got a very strong bond with him.
When your parents actually went through all this at that time, I don't think it was fully legal to do.
I think it was actually illegal for your parents. So you're 20 years old.
Yeah.
So 21 years ago, your mum's embarked on a journey to have kids. Did they actually talk you through, and are they both mum and mum, or is it?
Yeah. It's quite funny when I'm talking to friends, I say mum, and generally it means plural, both of them, and they still don't really know which one I'm talking about. But, you know, my good friends know now. It can be difficult. I've always known my story. I can't remember the time when I knew exactly what it was because I've just always been told how I was born and where I've come from. My story is a little bit unique in that they couldn't go through IVF or anything like that at the time. So they literally put a letter out in a magazine, a few magazines, I believe. Just saying we're looking for
Women's Day, new idea. Oh.
it was
one reach out?
Gay, I think gay magazines at the time. And it just said we're looking for a guy that's willing to donate sperm to us and help us make a family.
Awesome.
We'd really like you to be involved in the kids' lives. And that's where it all began, really. And then had a few interviews. They met my dad, thought he was pretty good looking, nice guy. So they chose him and that's pretty much what happened.
Pen pals, I mean, because seriously, there was no internet back then. There was no Twitter. There was no way of kind of putting a mass message out. So,
Mum still has kept the article that they wrote and letter from my dad.
So. I was going to ask that.
Got all the documentation. Because, it was unique at the time and I think it was quite hard for them at first with all, legal-wise.
Yeah.
It was quite tough.
Knowing that things were the way they were at the time your parents were looking to go and have a child, knowing what they went through and things like showing you the article and probably the magazine as well that it came from.
That's
and everything.
I'm just loving this.
Yeah. How has that even shaped your view of the current landscape of the LGBT community? Like when they're talking about, Lyle Shelton comes on and talks about the stolen generation, or you just hear things about marriage equality, or you hear about transgender people using the bathrooms and whatever. Like, do these affect you a little bit more because of, you know, the journey your parents went through?
I think so, in a way. I mean, it's pretty tough for them, but they're very resilient, and they've taught me and my brother to be very resilient in that. And just to say, you know, stand up and say, no, that's not right. You know, we need to do something about this in any circumstance. You know, if anyone is, you know, any minority in the community or anything like that, they're very...
Well, one of the things I'm really loving, though, is you're talking about the resilience. And I see that in a lot of the next generation of children coming out, even those who are coming out themselves with, like, the minus 18s.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways, the children who are part of the rainbow community, whether they're allies, gay, straight, whatever, they're learning a new level of resilience that, like, even my kids... They'll correct people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I sometimes look away and go, damn, I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, do you ever find you've had to correct people, or?
Yeah, there are times that I've had to correct people, and I felt like they need to know. They may not have been told when they were younger. So I feel like I know. So I'm going to, you know, tell you and explain it to you, not in a nasty way, but yeah, I do. I've had a couple of instances where I've had to correct people, or times that I've just been a bit, you know, ashamed, you know, to be with someone that just is so unaware of, like, my family and where I've come from. And yeah, there's times I've had to walk away from people just because there's some of their comments and questions just got too tough for me to be able to be around. I just had to walk away. As I've gotten older, I've been able to sort of say to them, no, that's not right. You know, let me explain it to you.
So in, like, the schoolyard and stuff, you did have a few issues here and there?
No, in primary school, I didn't have any issues. It was when I got to university.
Wow.
Yeah. And there are a few people that sort of said some things, and I was like, no, I can't be around you at the moment. Like, and yeah, I was really disappointed. I was like, you're an older person, you know, you're my age. You should know by now that you can't
say. You should know better.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of that, you should know better. So no issues in primary school and high school. And I remember when I was growing up and a little bit older than you, maybe twice your age, Georgia, I really struggled as a young gay person who hadn't come out to her parents yet. But I struggled because I didn't see myself represented as a gay person in the media. And again, we are talking about the pre-internet days where I'm looking to television and magazines to see images of myself and music. 12 years ago, the Play School episode with the lesbian mums was on. You were still before then. Did you ever feel like, hey, my family doesn't kind of look like the Waltons, or how was that growing up? Was there ever a point in time?
I think they always got us ready, because I never sort of looked at another family and went, oh, they're different to mine. My family was my family. It was normal to me. And
yeah,
that's like one of the questions people always ask, what it's like having two mums. I'm like, I don't know. It's normal. I can't tell you any different. I've never had a mum and a dad, or two dads. I don't know. Yeah, there was never really a point that I can remember in my time where I went, that family's different to mine. I think it's just always been mum, just been our family is different to others. But that's, you know, that's how we are.
But you were saying earlier, because usually obviously we chat before we come on air, and you were saying that your brother as well, like, how old is your brother?
He's 18.
And your brother, like, he even said to you that he hasn't experienced that need or loss of having the other gender parent around either.
Yeah, no, he definitely hasn't. We always had male figures in our lives. My, you know, mum had friends that, you know, were guys, and they would always be around, and we got to see our dad when we wanted to and when, you know, we could. I don't think my brother's ever felt that he's missed out on having a male in his life.
We had Rodney from Gay Dads Australia, and he was saying that on Father's Day they do a picnic. And the picnic is to get all the gay dads together, and sometimes grandmas, and everyone comes along. And they say it's not actually for the adults. It's actually for the kids to be able to play amongst themselves and make friends and see other families like themselves. Did your mums ever put out another ad to maybe get some more lesbian mums and kids out together for play dates and play group?
Bedding put it out an ad. I think they were approached by someone who actually said, there's another couple of women who have just recently had kids. Would you like to meet up? Because in those times, there really weren't many. You didn't know other lesbian mums. Yeah, they were approached, and then it all started from there, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger, and now there's younger generations that are doing the same thing, and it's really nice to see. And we're still really close with our group. We go away every year together, and we go on a camp. And we've grown up together. It's like, yeah, it's like we're siblings. It's really lovely. And the mums can get together. And when we were younger, you know, it was a time they could talk and, you know, share stories and problems and stuff. So,
and that's a thing that people don't realize is that when a community comes together, like, it doesn't take just the family to raise the child. There's that whole, you know, it takes a village.
You know, we still know people who are involved. One of the families actually still has young kids, and they're still involved in the group, and they are with another group now. So it's nice to see it's still going and there's more kids coming in. And yeah, it's lovely.
Are there any stereotypical questions that you get asked?
Yeah, there's a couple. I don't find them offensive or annoying. I'm happy to answer them, of course. But there's always the, what's it like having two mums? Or does that mean you're a lesbian because you have lesbian mums? I got that a lot in high school. I went to an all-girl school, so.
But when they're asking about sexuality, it's not like I hear about somebody's family and go, well, does that make you straight?
Yeah.
Like, so what, how do you answer that?
I know, like, it's like, I said to people in high school, I was like, just because I have lesbian mums, it doesn't mean I'm a lesbian. I don't come out, you know, as a lesbian, you know, born straight, you're born gay. That's how it is. And I was born straight.
Yeah. Look, I can look at my kids and go on. Yeah. They're totally. Yeah. They're straight.
Yeah.
But I mean, and the thing is you get those stereotype things. Cause when I came out, everyone's being like, so you're into men, you're going to start dating men. You're going to start. So you're going to do the surgery. And I'm going, I haven't gotten that far. Can you just let me in? And it's like, well, necessarily not just like that's my private and you know, that's my business. And
yeah, I don't find it offensive or anything. It's just how it is. People assume that they don't know. So you just got to help them. And I think that's mainly the people that I surround myself with. They really don't care who my parents are. Even like friends, I was really nervous in high school talking to people and telling them about my family. It was kind of like, I don't know how people are going to react. And they love my mums. They think they're great. Everyone finds them really open and inviting and very welcoming. So, yeah, there's nothing. I don't get nervous anymore telling people.
I mean, you're obviously still at university now. That's where you've probably found more of the awkward conversations, whereas primary school and high school – it, you know, safe schools probably weren't around back then when you were going through schooling, yet you found it a little bit easier to go through that. Was it because people already knew? Because when we're young, we're kind of, I felt like I lived and grew up with my friends' parents and families, and it was just kind of happened.
You're calling your friend's mom or something like that as well,
just
too.
Just kind of, you know, kind of lived in everyone else's houses until they kicked you out for dinner.
Yeah, growing up in sort of a community in high school and in primary school as well, yeah, you get to know, you know, the kids in your year level and stuff. Uni, everyone comes from different places. Exactly. You don't know each other's backgrounds. You don't know each other's parents. And I think, yeah, it's possibly a little bit more scary because, you know, you don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know who you're going to come across. And I think this person that said something to me, I think that they sort of just didn't know. They didn't know how to react or what to say because they'd never maybe had that before in their lives. And I didn't realize that. I'd always thought people must know, but this person may not have known.
Did your parents ever talk to you about having fears of how you might have been treated different because of their relationship?
Yeah, not really. I don't remember any like specific conversations about it. They were always very, you know, you have to stick up for yourself. You know, you've got to go out there and say, no, this is, you know, that's not right. You can't say that. You know, I don't mind if you don't like who I am or my family, but please don't say that. I don't think they've ever sort of voiced any concerns. I think leading up to this debate about the plebiscite and that kind of stuff, I think they're more nervous than I've ever seen them before. But they know that we can stick up for ourselves and be ourselves. So
my ex, she does have that angst when the kids go to school. I'm worried about them being picked on or whatever. Mm. But my kids have learned their own things what to say. It's like, no, look, yeah, she's my dad. And because kids will ask, oh, is that your mom? Is that your aunt? Is that? Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, that's my dad. You know, yeah. I'm 6'3", for God's sakes, you know, and I'm walking on there. But I'm waiting for the day it comes where one of them goes and says, yeah, well, my dad can beat up your dad. And I'm showing up at the schoolyard and going, yeah, no.
Obviously seeing a heightened anxiety by your mums at the moment because of what's happening. Have they spoken to you about it or you've just kind of heard the sort of stuff they've been talking about when you're seeing some of these?
They haven't talked about it to me and I haven't heard them talking about it. I can just tell.
Yeah.
I think it's because I'm being a lot more open about this than I have with anything else around this debate. So I think that that's probably making them more nervous is that, you know, my voice is out there, my face is out there, my name's out there now and I can't take it back. But I'm so proud to be able to do this and I want to do it for them, not only for them but for the other people like my dad and, you know, our friends. You know, I haven't got any problems with it. So I think that as long as they know that I'm confident and I'm happy doing this, then you know, they'll be fine.
It's a big way to give it back to your family for all the stuff they've done for you. At least you can stand up for them for this one thing.
Exactly. And yeah, they've given me so much. They've, you know, made me a very accepting, confident person in, you know, the world. And so I want to give something to them and, you know, be able to say, this is wrong. This is my family and I believe in who they are. So you can, you know, back off, let us be. But yeah,
in a nice way.
In a nice way. Of
so see, the kids are all right, Mish.
I know. Kids
They're
bounce.
Better than all right.
The kids are fine.
There's more from the Family Matters team in just a moment on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Family Matters. My name is Michelle, joined by my co-host, Gina. And we are joined by Georgie, who's the child of a lesbian couple.
You're almost like that first generation of trailblazing kids coming through. Do you find yourselves almost mentoring the younger ones through at the moment?
I mean, sometimes I guess I do. I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't know many young kids with same-sex parents. I'd like to hope that they listen to these things, they watch some things, they read articles, and, yeah, they are sort of supported by us and what we've experienced in our lives.
If a gay couple wants to have a child, they do need to almost reach out and have somebody else in their relationship. And similar to your mum's writing an article or, you know, putting an ad in the paper kind of thing, which I still think is awesome. I just love... How does one answer that? But anyway.
I would love to go back and actually see some of the magazines
and
articles.
I want to see some of the responses back that were like, oh, no, yeah. No, that one's not coming through the door.
But it's not like down here where you walk in every other corner and you probably see like an adult store or a Sexy Land or, you know, Club X or something
like
that.
Where are we going with
that? No. But in that time,
yes.
To get a hold of that magazine,
yeah.
Where would you have gone? How would you have gotten that? Like, how would you have, like, it would have been just. So
nightclubs and gay bookstores.
Well, there
That's
you go.
How I found them.
Oh. 20 years ago?
20, yeah, more than, actually, yeah, probably 20 years ago. Parents are obviously very anxious to do the right thing by their kids, and they sit down and they have these really long conversations and they write legal documents which might not hold up in court and might hold up in court. And is there any advice from clearly a girl that's doing really well, who's had two great mums and a great dad? Is there any advice you could give to the parents who are at the moment probably sitting in the background writing up a contract about who can do what and where and who can participate?
I don't know. I think you've just got to do whatever you think is best for your family in the end. I mean, from the get-go, you've got to find someone that you feel comfortable sharing this experience with, because it's huge. You know, you're making a family with someone else. So, you know, my mum's lucky enough to find the right guy. I think it's important that, yeah, you find the right person to do it with, and then you talk to them, sit down and have a conversation and say, this is what we want. What do you want? Write it out together and come up with a plan together instead of separately. Got to work it out. So I think that's what happened with my family, and it's worked out perfectly.
And it probably helps maybe if you barrack for the same footy team, because, you know.
That's a big thing.
That's a big thing in Melbourne.
And I know when I've been I was very cheeky growing up, but there were times where I played my parents off each other. Was there ever a moment of teenage rebellion, about a teenage angst, when you're like, you know what, mums, I'm going to dad's? Like, ever come down, or your dad was like, no, that's not my role here?
Yeah, I think, yeah. No, I don't think I ever went to dad for anything, because I knew that wasn't his role. Because he'd be like, no, this is between you and your mums. Just
love it.
You know? So, no, I never went to dad for anything like that. And, yeah, I don't know what he would have done either, actually. He would have been like, oh, no, I don't know what to do. No, I never really played off them. They were both, pretty... not easygoing, but they were very, happy for us to, give them a go if we wanted to.
Have you found yourself that as you've gotten older, spending more time with your dad, or is it just about as much as you did before?
It's probably as much as I did before, maybe even a bit less. He's really busy doing his stuff, studying and working. And my brother and I are really busy. He's, my brother's in year 12 and I'm at uni and working a lot. So it's hard to find time, but we try to. But I definitely think I've gotten to know my dad more being older than I have when I was younger, because I talk to him, I ask him to tell me stories about his life and what he's done. So, yeah, I've definitely got to know him as I've gotten older, which is really nice. And I think we have a great relationship. We always love catching up. And, yeah, it's definitely nice for my brother. They are very similar in what they like to do, on computers and games and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, they get along really well.
Was your dad's extended family also a part of your family growing up?
My dad's actually from New Zealand, so but they were. I think we flew over when I was about 3 or 4, the first time we went over, and they've always been a huge part of our lives. We go over every couple of years to see them. They're very important to us. We've got cousins over there that are our age, and, yeah, they were very accepting of us. I think Mum was nervous about that, definitely, and I think Dad was as well, saying, I've had these two kids. Are you okay with this? They're a big part of my life. And they loved it. I love our family very much. Very lucky.
So you had another extended set of grandparents.
Yeah, so we've got three families.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great. And they're all great people. Very lucky to have them. They're also accepting of us, which I think makes Mum really happy. It's a hard thing to take on.
When you think about it, though, it really is not much different than families who are separated.
Mm.
And
the kids are all right.
Yeah.
We're all right. I don't see what the big fuss is about.
I don't either. See, she's not broken. She's good.
She's quite out to go. I'm waiting for like a sob story. Nothing controversial. You're a bit too stable, Georgia. Sorry. I'm the one with all the scary stories of my youth.
I think what my parents did really well is since we were born, we were told where we've come from, our story specifically, and what that was, and just to stick up for yourself. They've always taught my brother and I just to, you know, be accepting of others, everyone, whoever they are, whatever they believe. You've got to accept them for who they are. And I think that's the main thing that parents have to do, you know, to support their kids is just be there for them, you know, help them when they need it, but don't helicopter them.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, let them, you know, find out who they are and, you know, what they need to do.
And it's right up there as well as, you know, if you find out your daughter's dating a boy who follows Collingwood, just stop saying it's bad if it's Collingwood, okay? It's okay. We all need to accept everyone, no matter who they barrack for.
A lot of gay parents ask the question in the forums that I've seen of when do we come out to our kids? Did your mums ever come out to you?
It's here. Yeah. No, I don't believe so. I don't remember them ever sitting us down and saying, so, you know, we're two women, we're in a relationship. I think, yeah, we literally, since we were born, were taught that from the very beginning. And, I've just always
known. If you act like it's just a normal, well, not act, but if you just live your life normally as if it's just every day and no one's going to question it or anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, even in my case with my kids, it's just, this is what it is. I mean, I had to slowly introduce some things because it was a physical transformation, but my kids still see me as the same person. Same thing, you know, your parents, you've known your parents that way since you were born, so you wouldn't have known any different anyway.
Exactly. That's it. And, it was the same thing with us that, you know, they were just, you know, would live our lives like it was normal, and I've always known that.
You'd be three, wake up in the middle of the night, you come crawl in bed between your parents, and that's, you know, and that's just it. It's normal.
Yeah.
What was, we heard about the article. And that's wonderful. How did they take you through? Yeah.
It was detail.
We want the detail, Georgia.
I think I've already mentioned this in an article that was written, but they actually, I think, took it off a family friend who their sons are about 4 years older than me. Met my dad a few times, made sure, you know, he was fine, he was normal. And then he lived a while away, so they'd drive to his house. He'd, you know, do the deed, give them a Vegemite jar. They'd put it in a sock, put it in a paper bag, take it home, and then they'd do their thing at home. So that's the story. That's pretty
so
much
you're
the
a deed. Happy little Vegemite. Is that the joke you get to
oh, they love it.
With?
So that's the story. But
brilliant.
They've you're always literally been, a happy little Vegemite.
Yeah, I know. It's quite funny. Yeah, that's how it was and that's how it had to be. Mum was always nervous. It was a bit of a dodgy part of town my dad lived in. Mum was always nervous carrying around a paper bag. You know, she was like, oh, please could jump out at me at any point. But, yeah, I think it's a unique story, definitely.
Yeah.
But, it's one that I'm really proud of as well. You know, they went to a lot of effort to have my brother and I. Yeah, it just makes me realise how loved my brother and I are, you know. Mm. It's a lot of effort for, you know, same-sex parents to go through to have kids. So I feel like we're some of the most loved kids in the world because of where we've come from. It's very special.
Did they still go with a Vegemite jar for your brother,
was,
you know?
Or I was waiting for you to ask if you still had the Vegemite jar.
No.
I don't know why.
I mean, she kept the article from the paper, but not the Vegemite
jar. That would take it way too far.
Did he have a honey jar or is he
No, I think he's a Vegemite jar too, or just a jar of some kind.
Because personally, I can't stand Vegemite, and I remember my first day of kinder being forced to eat Vegemite, and as a Greek kid, you'd never experienced Vegemite before, and my mum didn't know how to apply it, so there was a really thick layer of Vegemite. Yeah. It was torturous.
Yeah, no, I think it was the same thing. It worked, you know, the first time. Why not just do it the same the next time? So
awesome.
Yeah, it's a very unique story, but it's one that I love telling, and some people are a little bit like, oh, really?
I think it's gold. But,
yeah, no, it's great, and very, very, you know, proud of them for doing it as well. It's quite a big thing to do.
Did your mums talk about that at the time they were actually committing an offence? It was actually against the law to self-inseminate in Victoria. Were they living in Victoria at the time?
Yeah.
I think Kraft might have sued at that time too as well.
Yeah, possibly. Copyright issues. They could have been. Like.
Probably. I actually didn't realise.
Yeah.
Mum might have mentioned it and I might have just brushed it off. But until Dad said it quite recently, I was with my brother and Nora and I looked at each other and sort of went, oh, gosh, we're illegal babies.
Yeah.
I didn't realise how dangerous it was for them. Not dangerous, but, yeah.
Rebellious,
yeah. But I'm very proud of them for doing it. I think it's pretty awesome that they, you know, went, no, this is what we want. We're going to do it.
And have your mums, they've been together 32 years. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing period of time. Do they tell you the stories? I mean, I hear the stories of how my parents were put together. Proxy, Greek, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
How did they meet each other? How did they fall in love?
I never quite get this story right. But I think that they were working together at a school kind of place and they met there. And one of my mums was about to go overseas for quite a long time. And my other mum said, well, I'm going to come with you. So, yeah, they went over together pretty much overseas. And that's where I think they really fell in love over there because they had to spend a lot of time together. I think it was quite a few months they were there. But, yeah, they talk about how, you know, tough it was for them sometimes during the trip. But, you know, they got through. And
any more questions, Mish?
No, I'm still stuck in the Vegemite jar.
I'm loving I think we wrap up with a happy little Vegemite jar. But
you should find the tune for that.
Oh, dude.
And
it's
play
brilliant.
That.
We're not going to embarrass your mums by telling that story.
I hope not. I'm pretty sure I put it in the article. Oh, one article I said awesome. Vegemite jar.
I'm sorry, but it is just so awesome. Such the happy little Vegemite thing.
It's a proud. They should be proud of it because super it's proud. Such a unique story. And
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went to a lot of effort to get this. So I think, yeah, it's something they're pretty open about.
Oh, I would. I would be bragging about that all the time because, like, yeah, again, what you went through and the effort. And yeah. Anyway, well, thank you so much for coming in
and talking to
us. And oh, it's just lovely.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's so important to get the voice of the kids on air. And we're going to continue to get the voices of young people who are the, you know, the children of gay parents, because clearly some of us are really nervous about being gay parents and wanting to do right by our blessing. Even though I don't have kids myself, I consider the kids in our community as much my blessing as everyone else's.
Oh, they mind-bonded with you like that.
Yeah. Won them over with some crayons.
Exactly.
And the Wii, exactly.
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah.
With that.
Wicker, wicker, wicker.
Got to work on my wicker. But anyway, thank you, Georgia,
Thanks
so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Love to your mums and your dad and your brother as well.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. You can listen to that interview on our podcast. That is all up to date now, thanks to our lovely producer, Gina.
Well, it is up to date, but give me just a bit of time to get that one on.
Yeah, you're not doing it as we go.
Happy little Vegemite. Like, seriously, how cool is Georgia?
It is.
What a great
She's
kid.
She's great.
Clearly, the kids are just fine. So,
but if you do need
on.
That podcast, sit in front of your computer and keep pressing F5, 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 refresh and wait for that podcast
and
to
I'll
come up.
Do my best to get it up quickly.
Now, it's that time of the show where we groove into our phone interview.
Wow.
Guess who we have on the line? Have a guess. Gina, have a guess.
One of our parents, perhaps?
And
maybe the parent of the most cheekiest person here in the room.
It is. And Al, come in. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes,
how
she's
are
there.
You?
I'm very good. Yourself?
Yes, very well, thank you.
And what's happening there in Adelaide?
Well, it's raining, so we've got Melbourne weather.
Oh, yeah. Now, have you got anything to say to Beck, your lovely daughter, tonight?
Hi, Beck. How are you?
Hi, Mum. I'm good. This is not at all awkward.
Good.
Yeah.
No. Behaving?
Always.
Now, if you can sum up Beck in a couple of words, let's say three words, what would it be? What would they be?
Probably very social.
Okay.
Personal quality, probably got a bit of FOMO, I think.
Yes, I do. Massive
and
FOMO.
Massive FOMO. And probably, she's probably a good friend too, to her mates, I think. So she's got lots of good friends.
Now, Anne, before we get into some of the mischievous stories that Beck got up to as a young girl, I do apologise for taking Beck down the wrong avenue on the weekend. I kept Beck up to all hours of the night having a few lemonades with her to about 5 in the morning. So I do apologise.
That's way past her.
I know. I was going to say, Mum will be shocked I've ever been awake that late.
Yes.
That wasn't a uni assignment or something.
Yeah, that's right. Not even then.
Can I just I have to say, I love how you guys just keep sending me the messages throughout the night and into the morning when you guys are out. Show me what a close little family we are, nice. Which I really appreciate.
Now, Mum, Gina doesn't know what FOMO is.
Yeah, what's FOMO?
Oh, fear of missing out.
Mm. Oh, is that so, what FOMO is?
I have to be in everything all the time.
I supposed to be the youngest person in Australia, so I did not know what FOMO was either.
Oh, really?
No.
I must be more down with the young folk than you.
Oh, you are, and you are.
Absolutely.
Now, Anne, do you have any particular mischievous story you could share with our joy audience?
Oh, where do we start?
Ooh.
Beck, do we start with primary school Wyala?
Go for it.
I knew this would happen.
Yep, go for it, Anne. Tell us.
Okay. So year six, new school, you know, just the new kid on the block, had to go to the bathroom, as you do. You know, that's quite normal behaviour. But unfortunately got herself stuck in the toilet.
Oh, no,
so then,
really?
You know, she's going, right, so problem solving. And Beck, you know, thinking it through logically, decided that she'd crawl under the door. But she was a bit Winnie the Pooh about it and was half in and half out under the toilet door at a new school. So then the principal had to come, unhinge the door and let her out.
At lunchtime, when the whole school came into the toilet to watch.
There was a crowd, so yes.
Can I just say, every kid out there stuck in a toilet, you can still become a family lawyer eventually.
Absolutely. And radio presenter.
Anybody from that primary school, please. You got some photos.
They still tell that story now. Friends I have from high school, if they meet people, they're like, oh, this is Beck. She got stuck under a toilet door.
Now, Beck, when we introduce you from now on for future radio shows, we can sneak that into your bio.
It was Toilet Gate of 1980.
It was, I reckon, 1993, 92?
Yeah.
Yeah,
see
about that.
Oh, and if that's the... Now, hopefully you're working your way up to the better stories. That's one's a good start. What else have you got, Anne?
Well, now, probably an example of Beck's FOMO. We were out shopping one evening and looking, you know, she was playing on the playground outside and I think she was on a slippery dip, which was about... Oh, probably about, you know, 5 feet off the ground, so not very big. But, of course, rubbernecking all around, looking what's going on for going on around her, and decided she'd look over the side and, of course, kept going. So tumbled off the slippery dip onto the concrete because, you know, it was the 80s and they didn't have soft landing and ended up in hospital with a broken arm. So poor little
woman. Was she wearing fluoro because it was the 80s? I could see you rocking the fluoro there.
Yeah, she loved her fluoro. And the other outfit that she really loved was what we called the rah-rah skirt.
Oh, yeah.
So... You know, skirt with all these frills and bust to it. So, yeah, she was big, quite a fashionista back in the day.
There you go.
I even wore a rah-rah dress to the football one day.
You did.
The SNFL Grand Final.
I don't know what a rah-rah dress is.
Do you know what a FOMO is?
Yeah. I'm being quite educational, really.
Now, Anne, Beck's always trying to find me a date, but I would like to find Beck a hubby. Now,
you're not the only one.
Yeah, that's what I thought. When will Beck finally settle down and find the man of her dreams?
Well, that's a really good question because I was just, you know, interrogating her brother here tonight about his love life, and I thought,
and hello, Tom.
So I'm thinking this might be an opportune time for Beck to let me know what's going on with her love life too.
Yeah, Beck, while we're at it, what is happening with your love life right now?
Yeah, Beck.
Well, when Adelaide Crest Captain Taylor Walker breaks up with his couple, we will be in love and get married.
Where's that?
Is there a new hashtag? There's been hashtag Dave.
Hashtag find Beck a hubby.
Oh, I know.
We need that crickets sound effect when we ask how Beck's love life is going.
Thanks, Dave.
It's all right, Beck. We'll get his mama on next.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, and you know what? You can be on every single week from now on.
Oh, I'd be delighted.
She'd have a bit of a... She has a challenge working out what time it is in South Australia and Victoria, so we'd have to work through that.
We'll work through that. Now, Anne, I'm hearing that I'm one of your favourites, or I am your favourite on Joy.
Well, I have many favourites, but of course you are the most favourite. So.
Good save,
Anne. How about me just trying to get my own plugs at the moment?
Yeah. Well, a bit like my children, I've got my favourites there too.
Oh, yeah. The other one actually messaged in a bit earlier.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, did he? Yes. No, I have a favourite daughter and a favourite son, so I'm very lucky.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Very politically correct.
Yes, that's me.
Now, are you as mad as Adelaide Crow fan as Beck is?
Yes. I'll be off on Saturday night, so cheering the boys on. So now, hopefully we beat North Melbourne.
Oh, that'll be an easy win for you guys.
Oh, I hope so.
Are we back on Chicks Talking Footy?
Chicks Mum's Talking Footy. Yeah. Like,
Chicks Mum's Talking Footy.
Footy, yeah. That's a new segment.
Chicks Mum's Talking Footy, trying to find a daughter or a hubby show.
I think we could sell that. Just need cameras.
And it's been fantastic to have you on, Joy, and I hope we can speak to you again later in the year, or maybe if we get commissioned for a second season.
Yeah, of Chicks Mum's Talking Footy.
Yeah,
that's right. Now, Anne, thank you very much. Say your last few words to Beck before she gets back into battle in the microphone.
Okay. Love you, Beck, and behave.
Oh, bless. She's good. Don't embarrass the family. That's what she always says. And I always do.
Oh, how sweet. Okay, thank you, Anne. That was Anne Dell.
Okay,
thanks, Mum. Bye.
Bye.
That was Anne Dell.
She's so
Beck's
cute.
Mum, she's so... we do need to find you a hubby, don't we?
This is not what this show is about.
No, family matters.
No. But if anyone wanted an update on hashtag find a date for Dave, go on our Facebook page, have a look at him. He's good looking.
His kids' photo is really cute.
Yeah,
too,
and I mean,
face.
So if you had kids with him, they'd probably be cute.
We had
Rodney from Gay Dads telling us the other week how that could happen. So
now I'd love to talk about myself for the rest of the night, but we do have to get to some sponsorship announcements.
Not yet. No, hang on.
No? No. We're out of time. Oh, I'm still laughing about Anne Dell. I can't believe you got stuck in the toilet. You are listening.
How else was I supposed to get out?
You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. That was fantastic.
Yeah, your mum's a good sport, and so are you, Beck. Thanks for that. I was too chicken to get my mum on air. Also, because she can't speak English very well.
Well, that would have been entertaining in its own way.
She would have probably just offered to cook for us all, and then just started cooking.
I see no issue there.
No, neither do I. But
maybe we could do an episode from your mum's kitchen,
and we could channel it through one of the SBS channels as well.
We're all about cultural diversity.
It's diversity broadly, I think.
Inclusion. You
know, Family Matters makes spanakopita tonight.
Yeah.
She's actually really good at her spanakopita and baklava.
Now, I can see Anne now just in her living room now saying, you know what, that Dave, he's just so nice. Oh, I love him.
We might have to bench him next
She'll
week,
be like, Beck. That's the kind of husband I want for Beck.
I can tell you that I've been suspended for a week. I won't be on next week's show.
That's because you have to warm up for the finals.
Yes, that's right.
Are we back on Chicks Talking Footy with mums?
Yeah, we are.
I get confused. No,
I know. You are FOMO. How many shows is this now?
Three.
Fabulous.
Plus the millions I have in my head.
Absolutely love it. Well, next week, we've got some pretty awesome guests coming on because it is Foster Care Week next week.
Amazing.
So we've been able to score a lovely gay dad who is also a foster carer.
Ooh.
So Kim will be coming in next week to talk about foster care and how to be a foster carer and whether we're eligible to be foster carers.
Exciting.
Well, there you go. We might be able to do that.
And also coming up after us, now I'm not sure what they're talking about. It is our favourite show, The Woods.
Aren't they great?
Talking about Splinter, the Dungeon. Is that a computer game?
I don't think it is, Dave.
Okay.
I don't think it's material for a family show, but I'll be listening.
How do you think we've gone without Michelle and Adrian, without the parents?
We didn't get up to too much mischief.
No one's clean. No one's cooked. It's mess
that's
everywhere.
Right.
Whatever else. Anyway, that's it, is it?
Almost, yeah.
Almost?
Well, we still haven't heard from your cheekier story, Dave.
Yeah, come on, Dave.
Okay,
he hasn't given the goods.
Okay, there was... one story. I'm just trying to talk really slowly now.
Is this like at the footy when they try and pass handball the ball?
Yeah, when you've got 20 seconds left on the clock running
down.
And
he doesn't... I think we might have to get someone from Dave's family on Beck.
I think
so. It's only fair.
It's only fair, yeah.
Yeah. I told you how I burnt down the house and drank the ouzo. And so please nobody tell Mum about the ouzo that I drank. I don't think there'll ever be a special occasion.
How do you say I know nothing in Greek?
Lexero tipota.
Ah. Oh, yeah. There you go. I don't know the swear words in Greek, so I maybe shouldn't say those that too loud.
Yeah, you don't say that to my mum. Absolutely not. I should actually bring her in one.
That'd be amazing.
So
could you cook?
Her Anna Spanakopita.
I love lasagna.
She likes to kiss
and Italian.
I don't know. It's...
Oh, no, she makes the Greek bastitzel version of it.
Ah. Yeah.
Now, that sounds exciting
actually,
to me.
I'm hungry now. I might actually go to my mum's after this. It's really...
Can we all come?
Oh, kind of. It's weird not having the parents in.
Oh, fantastic. Anyway, we'll thank... on the desk, yes, we'll thank him as always.
We've had a change of desk.
I normally say machine, he's not here tonight. Anyway, coming up, the Bears, and then followed is our favourite Pop Chops with all the songs that you should be listening to.
I'll probably be asleep by then.
I'm David.
I'm Gina.
I'm Beck.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.